Are you able, said the master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the conquering Christians answered, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are you able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes, that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise? Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are you able, when the shadows close around you with the sun, to believe that spirit triumphs, to commend your soul to God? Oh Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are you able, still the master whispers down eternity, and heroic spirits answer, now as then in Galilee? Oh Lord, we are our spirits are thine. Remold and make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty.
And these young people are stepping up and using the gifts that God has given unto them. Praise the Lord. Let us turn for a little while this morning to the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus, chapter 1, we'll go down to verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, that is, associated with the law, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake or for money. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans, or those from Crete, are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. We would continue these messages on the faith. And our subject today, as we read there in verse 13, that they may be sound in the faith. That word sound, it means to be in health. And specifically, as we see is connected with this verse, it means to be uncorrupt, means to be true in doctrine, wholesome. The context here with what Paul says, writing to Titus in verse 10, and these verses might seem to be in a rather negative sense, but that really is not the case, as we'll see here presently. We see here, Paul was talking about those who are unruly, they're vain talkers, they are deceivers, their mouths must be stopped, they subvert whole houses. Not a very good testimony of these people. But in verse 13, Paul tells us, this witness is true. That is what we've just said about these. And because of that, they are to be rebuked. Rebuke them sharply. But the positive thing about this is that they may be sound in the faith. He draws no conclusion that they are to be judged severely, that there is no really punishment or reprisal of any sort. The idea for the rebuke of this type of person is that they would be sound in the faith. I want to notice that Paul had already had experience in such a rebuke, so to speak. We'll not turn there, but in the, I believe it's the first chapter of Galatians, Peter came to Antioch, and when he did, Paul withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. The reason for that is because before certain people came from Jerusalem, Peter ate with the Gentiles. But when these law keepers came, those from Jerusalem, those who were publishing these elements of the circumcision that Paul mentions here, Peter withdrew himself. He was fearful of those that came down. He was fearful, and he withdrew himself, even to the point that others, including Barnabas, were carried away with the dissimulation. Paul gives a summation of his rebuke, or we see a summation of that rebuke, as Paul said to Peter at that time, "Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ? By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified in Christ, we're found sinners," as Peter thought he was doing, associating with the Gentiles, "if we be found sinners, is Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." Peter gave a horrible message by distancing himself or withdrawing from the Gentiles. It is rather interesting and intriguing to trace Peter's history in this regard. I'm sure that most of us remember him out on the rooftop waiting for lunch or whatever, and he was praying, and God, remember, let down that sheet with all sort of four-footed beast, unclean things. And he said, "Peter, slay and eat." And Peter refused to do that. "I've never put anything common or unclean into my mouth." And that's when God said to Peter, "What God hath cleansed, do not call common or unclean." Immediately after that, while Peter was still trying to digest that vision, he was called to the house of Cornelius, Gentiles. And it was down there that he gave forth the gospel. And those Gentiles began to speak with tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. And the record goes forth. They spoke in tongues just like we did at the first. After all of that, Peter withdrew from the Gentile as though when they were common or unclean. And of course, Paul rebuked him for it because of the tremendous damage that he was doing under the gospel. But as we see here, Titus is told to rebuke these kind of people, those that are setting forth such messages as that. You rebuke them in order that they might abound, and that they may rather be sound in the faith. I thought of Peter along that line, and I believe that this man did take the correction. He continued in his ministry, but later on you can read the record in 2 Peter 3. Peter commended our brother Paul for the wisdom given unto him in all his epistles, speaking in them all these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. That means they were hard for Peter to understand, because Peter only knew the message, the kingdom message. Paul was preaching the message of divine grace and to the church. And so find out that Peter had a little bit hard time understanding. But he says, which they are that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they try to twist, even as we find here in Titus, as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And so it seems that Peter got the message here insofar as being sound in the faith was concerned, and he did go on to have a tremendous ministry, as we very well know. I want to see in this message this morning, discover why and how to be sound in the faith. Why is it so important to be sound in the faith? Turn back just a couple of pages to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy 4. In verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Again, the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. This is why we must be sound in the faith. We are living in the latter times, these last days just prior to the coming of the Lord. And it is the Spirit, as we find here, who speaks expressly that in this time some are going to depart from the faith. Now, that doesn't mean that people are going to depart and go to hell. He is talking about believers who are in danger and who are giving up the faith, these principles that they have known. Just exactly like Peter did in that one instance. He gave up the principles of the faith and he had to be rebuked for it. He didn't go to hell. We know that there wasn't any kind of punishment, as we pointed out there in Titus, or anything of this nature, but it did need to be corrected. And so this is what Paul is talking about here to Timothy, as the Spirit speaks expressly, some shall depart from the faith, and notice, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. This is just exactly opposite of being sound in the faith, and the only way to correct it, the only way to ward it off, the only way to keep from falling into this trap is that we indeed must be sound in the faith. We find that Paul warned the Ephesian elders of exactly this same thing. We have had these verses before in these messages, so we'll not turn there, but I just want to call our attention to Acts 20, verse 29. Paul says this, I know this, that after my departing. That tells us the cause of this departing from the faith. It is because men have forsaken Paul's gospel. He is the apostle for this age going down to our day, and the church as a whole has disregarded that. And so Paul says, I know after my departure, after men are not listening to me, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves. People who were preaching this message at one time, shall men arise speaking perverse things, and that which is contrary indeed to, this is what it means to be contrary to being sound in the faith. They are speaking things that are wrong. As we read here, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. How do you overcome that? How do we keep from falling into that trap? How do we keep from being deceived in such a manner as this? Skip down to verse 6 of this same chapter. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. That is, they have simply turned aside from what Paul has told them, what Paul has instructed them to do. Notice further, again, and that was in the first chapter. Let's go again to the fourth chapter, verse 6. This is how, once again, to keep this from happening to us, to guard ourselves, to preserve ourselves, to make sure that we are sound in the faith. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice further, nourished up in the words of faith. Again, the words of the faith, or sound in the faith. And of good doctrine. Again, a reference to being sound in the faith. Whereunto thou hast attained. Timothy has a tremendous advantage here. He already has been sound in the faith. He's already attained unto this. He's not turned aside unto vain jangling like some of these others have done. He is still very much on target, so to speak, and Paul is simply encouraging him to continue exactly in the same way, wanting him to bring himself to that place where indeed he is solid and steadfast in the truth, as we have already seen in a previous message along this line. It is so important that men be attentive to such as this. Let us go down to verse 13. Paul continues to instruct Timothy and instruct us how that we can attain to this place of being sound in the faith. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine or teaching. You see, it is still the same faith. Being sound in the faith, that is still the answer in order to overcome all of these things. This 12th verse, let no man despise thy youth. Paul again encouraging his young son Timothy, because he was much younger than many of those that he would be ministering to. But don't let that stand in your way, Timothy. You cannot allow that. You must indeed continue on and to continue in this way of the faith. And again, till I come, give attendance. Paul was planning to be there, but at the time he wasn't. Timothy had to learn to stand even though Paul wasn't there. And of course, that also means that eventually Paul was going to be gone altogether. Timothy was his successor. Paul was simply trying to get his young protege, so to speak, to step up and to take these things upon himself, even though Paul was not there. In verse 14, he continues along this same line, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying hold of the hands of the presbytery." The gift that is in thee is undoubtedly the gift of giving out the word of God. There were those who recognized that, who understood that, what this man was supposed to do, and they simply agreed with God that Timothy was to be Paul's successor. And so they laid their hands on him with or in agreement with God at this place. Verse 15, "Meditate upon these things," and notice, "give thyself wholly to them." This is something that Timothy must do. He must make this commitment in his own life in order to see that himself, was exactly engaged in these things. And so meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them. Verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself," and again, "unto the doctrine." This, once again, is an emphasis or a reference to the same thing that we have spoken of, being sound in the faith, faithful to the doctrine, be uncorrupted by these things in doctrine, to have true doctrine in his own life. And so take heed to thyself unto the doctrine, continue in them. We had another message previous to this, I believe, continuing in the faith. It's not to be done sporadically. It's not to be done just when we feel like it or convenient. Continuing, it must be a way of life. And to be sound in the faith, a person does have to do it continually, day after day after day, looking unto the Lord for that, continuing them. Notice this, in doing this, you'll save yourself. This is your way of preservation. This is the way of sparing yourself, making sure that you do not slip into this matter of being contrary or departing from the faith. But it also does this. You'll save yourself and them that hear you. You will be the instrument that God intended for you to be, and you'll be ministering to others in this manner in order to accomplish and fulfill exactly what God is talking about. Let's go to the Second Timothy, the second chapter. This may seem at times to be repetitive, but Paul meant it that way. That's how important this subject is, of being sound in the faith. And so Paul keeps reinforcing what he's saying to Timothy in these two chapters. He knows that he is going to be going away. And so we read in 2 Timothy in verse, second chapter in verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Before we go into that, let us notice another scripture just prior to that, in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 13, I say again, this seems to be repetitive. It just seems like that Paul is going over the same thing, which in measure he is. But again, he simply wants to reinforce what he is telling his son, because again, he is going to go, Paul, it will be removed. So in verse 13, some wise counsel for us, if we are going to be sound in the faith. Verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words." that word sound is exactly the same, that the same meaning that we have already had, to be uncorrupted, to have true doctrine. And so as we read, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And the same thing applies to us. What we know, we've learned from Paul's message. He is, again, the messenger. He is the apostle for this age. I have had people in time past, when you mentioned that, well, I'll take the words of Jesus. That is a ridiculous statement. If you go through the scripture, you'll find out in Jesus' words there in the Gospels, Jesus introduced Paul's message. And then, of course, Paul came on the scene to enlarge on that wonderful message. And so we find here, hold fast the form of sound doctrine which you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee. That good thing is none other than the word of God, the message, the faith that the Apostle Paul preached and that he gave unto Timothy in a very special way. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. And then Paul mentions those that had forsaken him, but that was not to be Timothy. Now, chapter 2. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me. Paul continues to go back and to reaffirm over and over and over. Timothy, the message that you have learned from me. This is what you must preach. This is what you must stand for. This is what you must pursue in your own life. And so the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so again, it is the same path, passing the message indeed down to other people. But first, Timothy had to take heed unto himself. Verse 15. This is the final exhortation that we will note this morning in this endeavor to become sound in the faith. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. It is important to understand that little word study. It doesn't just mean, like we would think, just pore over the scriptures hour after hour after hour. It includes that. But let us understand that the little word study actually means to make an effort. It means to make haste. It means to be diligent. And notice what we're to be diligent in. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You're not out to impress other people. We're not out to make a name for ourselves. We're not out to do anything of that nature. We must understand that our lives are on display before God. And we are wanting. We must have that desire. We must make haste in order to be approved by God. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and then rightly dividing the word of truth. This is simply another expression of being sound in the faith, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember that word sound. It means to be uncorrupt. It means to be true in doctrine. It means to be wholesome. I say to us today, because we are living in a day when men are departing from the truth when they are departing from the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We absolutely must maintain this attitude in our own lives of being sound in the faith. We are living in those times when people are bringing forth messages that are not according to truth. Cannot listen to that. We absolutely cannot give in to that by any stretch of the imagination. It is imperative that we are sound in the faith in our own lives. So I want to leave us with this one final thought. Being sound in the faith is not for the purpose of straightening others out. Being sound in the faith is for our own safety and preservation. If we can be a witness to other people of the goodness of God, just like Timothy was, Titus was, others were, if we can be that witness unto others concerning the faith which is in Christ Jesus, well and good. But the main purpose is for ourselves, that we are sound in the faith and ready to meet Jesus in the air. That must be our desire. Shall we sing?